People of Earth, the following podcast is not real. No need to believe in the existence of other dimensions, excepting perhaps a good toasted pretzel bun, which is a whole other dimension of enjoyment. Now, credibility safely vanquished, enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is mostly what you need to know. About 2 years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a slight Wi-Fi signal from that Burger King through the dimensional rift, which I've always been using to upload a podcast I record here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, in the town of Hogsface, in the land of Foon. Unfortunately, I have to add to that the Dark Lord has taken over the town of Hogsface, imprisoned the whole town, and is now forcing me and my co-host to keep doing the podcast while he tries to study the transdimensional effects of the podcast. But we're going to turn lemons into lemonades. We're going to have a good time.
Lemonades? Plural?
What's that?
You said you're going to turn lemons into lemonades?
Yes, let's have a couple lemonades.
Do we
one
have
for
that
me,
many
one
lemons?
For you.
All right.
Yeah, let's have some lemonade.
Spread it around.
Yes.
Share the wealth.
Share the wealth.
I like it.
And I am joined, as always, by my buddy, my co-host, Chunt the Talking Badger / Shapeshifter.
King Bong.
Yeah. Yeah. Chunt, what is the status of you as king now? Like, all the badgers, like, not only rejected your kingship, but actively tried to kill us here in this tavern.
Yeah, well, I think if your subjects don't try and kill you, maybe you're not a good king. So
I feel like that's
classic king work, you know.
Sure.
So yeah, things are looking bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still king though, so as long as I don't give up my crown, I'm still king, and as long as I'm still alive, so
I'm impressed that the guards let you keep wearing that crown.
Well, I've been working some side jobs for the guards, trying to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in some new games for them. I let them gamble. I sort of, get them whatever they need, you know?
You love making up games.
Yeah.
What's absolutely. Some of the games that you run the guards through?
One of the new games is called Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where it's just like, I'll smack them in the face or, like, kick them in the nuts and then be like, sorry.
Oh, wow, and they like that.
They do like that.
Huh, mm-hmm. I gotta remember that. I'm gonna try that out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also joined
as... Well, let's play right now. Sorry.
I do not like this game. Don't love it, but I'm not a guard. Maybe if you are in a real, if you're in a strong position of power, that's the kind of game you're really into, right? Like, you kind of just want a little bit of that. Like, you're like, I'm in power. Oh, but I really just want to be slapped and someone to apologize to me.
Oh, like some S&M? Slaps and mouths?
Yeah, slaps and mouths.
Yeah, we call that S&M.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Are you a slap or a mouth?
I slap.
You slap. Yeah, I think that sounds right. Sadly, I gotta confess, I think I'm a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also joined by my... other co-host who's not as jovial as he usually is.
I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights.
He's getting a little bit of his groove back.
Devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as
Fang Yelly.
The dwarves know me as Zonin and Hookstanges, and I am known in the northeast as Gaswanius Maestar. Oh, and there may be other secret names that I cannot whisper. But until I am allowed to stop drinking this potion, I shall not have access to my great wizardly powers.
That's right. I'm excited that you're getting a little of your stamina back, but they've been giving you a potion that cuts off your access to your magic?
That's right. I am not magical while I'm drinking this potion. I am a simple human like you. Foul, filled with hair and smells. I hate it.
Stop making fun of how I'm filled with hair.
It's disgusting. But I got a little bit of my groove back. Because I ate a chicken wing last week.
Yes. What? Can you walk me through what that did exactly?
I was brought into this world by a conspiracy of birds and wind and air and frogs that did demand that a champion rise and come forth. So I ate one of them to get in their power.
I see. So you're saying the more birds you eat, And does it work with wind too? Like if you were in like a fast moving carriage and you stuck your head out the window and just opened your mouth and ate a lot of wind, would that kind of also fill you with power?
Yes, filled my lungs with great powerful gusts of air. Then certainly Usador would be closer to his former self.
That's good to know. Because guys, we're doing this podcast because the Dark Lord is forcing us. Mm-hmm. But we also have to little by little, day by day, tiny bit by tiny bit, find a way to fight back.
It is imperative that we fight back and defeat that evil duck.
No. Yeah. I think we just wore him out.
I made up another game. You want to play it?
Oh, is it anything like that last one?
No, it's called You Care, where I do something and then I ask you if you care or not. It's mostly played in the middle of the West.
Okay.
You want to play?
Sure.
I just drank your lemonade. You care?
Oh. I'm trying to actually remember how the game Euchre works.
What game?
Never mind.
It's called You Care.
I do care.
Say it right.
Okay. I do care. I got us lemonade.
Then you won the game. Fuck. Okay. Calm down.
Who are our guests this week?
Oh, that's a very good question. I'm so excited. You know, sort of the silver lining of having the Dark Lord being invested in this podcast is he's using his minions to kind of get us some better guests. Usually it's whatever weird ruffian stumbles into the tavern, but I'm excited to have some higher caliber guests. And guys, these are some very magical seeming creatures. I don't really know how to explain them, but here are our guests. One of them is a giant floating ball thing with one eye. And I'm sorry, sir, how would you even describe yourself?
Well, I'm a floating blob covered in stalks with eyes on it with a mouth. Of course, I'm a beholder.
Oh, a beholder.
And I'm wearing a bow tie, of course.
That is a very dapper bow tie.
That I really like to look nice when I'm on podcast.
Sure. It brings the whole look together, that bow tie.
And my name is Globulus. You didn't introduce me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Globulus.
Greetings, bipeds and quadrupeds.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Is that your given name, Globulus? Because you don't look like a Globulus.
I was born into it, of course.
Oh, okay.
When I was spawned from Globulus the First, and then I destroyed him, I took his name.
Oh,
that would do it. That you know, sometimes you know, like Chunt. I look like a Chunt, right? Like it's like,
oh yeah, you do.
Some people look like their name, and some people don't. You just you know, giant floating slime clumbered eye doesn't look like Globulus. You know?
What would you say he looks like?
Like a Hank.
Well, Globulus. So you were born out of the first Globulus, and then you killed him.
I devoured him, and now I am the first Globulus.
Oh, I see. Is it sad, though? Like, it's got to be a traumatizing thing to do to the person that brought you into the world.
No, I'm the first. I'm the best. Why would I be sad?
That's a good point.
Wait a minute. What is sad?
Oh, no. I don't want to accidentally... That's not an emotion I want to...
Arnie, like, if he doesn't know what sad is, don't make him feel sad.
I don't want to.
He's wearing a bow tie. Let him have this.
Yeah.
Let him have this.
Yeah. From my experience, people in bow ties don't always process negative emotions well.
I'll cover your tracks for you. SAD is an acronym for Students Against Drunk.
Wait.
Students of what?
Students of the University of Phoenix, where a great phoenix doth die every morning.
And they're just against, like, one specific drunk?
Yes, they hate Finlay.
Finlay?
Finlay the drunk.
He's a town drunk.
Then yes. I am sad. I am against students and drunk.
Oh, but I'm so sorry. I've also been neglecting. You brought another guest along with you, and you're sort of like a half-man, half-goat kind of creature?
I'm what you would call a satyr.
Oh,
a satyr.
A satyr.
Satyr.
Uh-huh.
And a bit of satirist.
Yeah. Wow.
It's wordplay.
Yeah. So you are a writer?
Yes, very much. A writer, performer, producer, director, designer.
Wow.
Art director, scenic director, poet. And
you work for me.
Oh, so you work for Globulus?
Yes. Well, in a way of speaking, Globulus is my patron. I, of course, perhaps listeners have heard of me. I am the renowned playwright and actor Dustin Hoffman.
Oh
my gosh, that's Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah. Yeah, please don't.
I've heard about him, Arnie. There are four great actors in Foon.
Wow.
There's Brando the Marlin.
Hack.
There's Robert the Sparrow.
Super hack.
There's Cocker Spaniel Day-Lewis.
All right.
Oh, wow.
And there's Dustin Hoffman.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Cocker Spaniel Day-Lewis is the only one of those I would deign to share the stage with.
It is an honor to meet you.
Adorable.
We are very honored to meet you.
That's accurate.
May I make a confession unto you? I saw you in one of your first performances when you played Romeon in Romeon and Julia.
It was a difficult performance because the Julia I was with was not very good.
Oh. She was not very good.
No.
I was happy that you murdered her at the end of the show.
The only way, which was not the way that it was originally written.
Oh.
But I felt it was the only way to express my true feelings. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And to play the love scenes, the only way I could fully embody it was to imagine I was playing the other part as well.
Oh, sure.
And in that moment, I could then love myself.
Yeah.
Being, as a creative force, a great lover, and as a satyr, of course, which means I have a genetic predisposition to hedonism. And
wow.
You know, it's something that I'm not proud of.
Sure.
But it comes with being a goat man.
You own it, man.
Do you struggle with your hedonism?
You're always drinking.
Somewhat. I am fond of a forest martini every now and then. Hard to get these days the proper way, but it's long been an obstacle to my attempt to get at the true heart and honesty of the dramatic art.
Yeah.
And Globulus has been very kindly and helping Foon achieve the sophisticated drama it deserves by assisting in bankrolling some of my more recent efforts.
And now you create and star in your own magnificent works?
Yes, I've been working a one-man show around the land. Autobiographical.
Uh-huh.
I looked into the stories of history, the stories of imagination, and I found the only story really worth the telling was my own.
Yeah.
Just the story.
So brave.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
So that.
Brave to realize that the only story is, you know, you're like the only story worth a damn is yourself.
No, I get it. I'm not an actor, but if I were, I'd probably play myself.
Perhaps if you were.
So what's this one man show?
It's going to be better than all that other crap you've been in.
It's the best.
Tell them about the scene where your mother's holding a baby you, and she lets out a big fart. It's hilarious.
You know what, though?
Maybe
you could act out the scene.
I will do my best. It's difficult when...
Not to put you on the spot.
The fart is something I've wanted to talk to you about, whether it's necessary to retain it. And
it's hilarious.
Arnie, you can't just ask Dustin Hoffman to fart on command. He's a meth head actor.
Oh.
Okay?
What's that?
It means he needs to do meth in order to act the role.
He is a hedonist, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have meth for him? Otherwise, don't ask him to fart on command.
I don't. I don't know how to get meth in any world I've ever been in.
It would be hard to fully communicate it to the listeners without, of course, my expressions, posing, and so forth. I'll try to. So I will be playing the part of my own mother in this scene, talking to myself.
Perhaps. But you got to imagine, he's got this really funny dress on. He looks really silly.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps to help the listeners, I'll describe my emotional state as I watch
it. Oh, yeah.
All right, it's dusty. Dusty, as I look into your perfect, perfect little face.
Poignant.
It's so brave for him to be his own mother, describing him as perfect.
Yeah.
This perfectly formed body with its perfectly formed little hooves and perfectly formed horn nubbins upon the forest head.
Bittersweet remembrances of the past.
Sometimes it's so hard to sing your own praises, but it's easier to do it through the voice of someone else whose words you're making up.
It pains me that I shall never be the mother you deserve, because I'll do so much to screw you up.
Moving in slightly
so
erotic.
Much.
Wait for it. It's going to be hilarious in a second.
Oh,
this mom is so self-aware.
Yeah.
perhaps it was my own troubled upbringing and perhaps my reliance on chemicals to get through the day and your father's similar problems ingrained in all of us.
Satya
folk. But I suppose the only thing I can bequeath to you, your inheritance.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Your being. And this is, of course, when the fart would come in.
Oh, man. Oh, the timing alone.
And the way it's stated...
And it goes on for like 2 or 3 minutes. It's amazing.
It's very long, and depending on how long, Mr. Globulus, who, of course, does the...
Mr.'s inappropriate. I am neither male nor female.
Yeah.
Well, it's...
Like, where would you keep those bits? Like, you're just unless they're under that bow tie.
Probably anyway. In one of my flesh sacks.
Oh, yeah. You do got a lot of those.
And then, of course, I would drop the prop child, and the next scene is myself as the baby now. My own infant self.
Dressed like a baby, though, but you're a grown man.
Yes, and holding a lolly.
I'm sensing that Globulus just loves seeing people dressed as other things.
He has a particular affinity for the clothing.
Sure.
I just know what's funny.
Now Globulus the First, what made you decide to be a patron of the arts?
Well, I was sitting on a vast fortune, and I always wanted to add to the general art scene. I don't think I necessarily am cut out for commerce, and yet that's how I've made myself. So perhaps, maybe in this small way, I can be in touch with the art world.
Ah, you yourself are a frustrated artist, I sense.
I don't know about that. What is frustrated?
Oh, no.
Oh,
Man, we're really introducing him to a lot of emotion.
Guys, if he doesn't know frustrated, we shouldn't make him frustrated.
I can't think of an acronym.
That's a long acronym.
One of the frustrations for myself of working with Globulus, which has otherwise been a true pleasure and honor, is that as a being incapable of experiencing most of the range of emotions, I find that his dramaturgical notes are not always the most useful or applicable to the emotional arc I'm portraying in what is a very grueling 17-act, one-man performance that ideally would then continue for 4 more nights of 17 acts each.
He seems to focus solely on broad comedy.
And that's kind of a stereotype about floating, slime-covered eyes, is that they're just in a broad comedy.
Well, if the shoe fits, and I speak metaphorically, because his feet are non-existent.
And stop using his. The preferred pronoun is it.
That's true.
Apologies again.
Now, are we discussing content again? Perhaps then we should discuss the contents of your discretionary fund.
No, he knows what's going on. It follows.
This is, I think that discussion was closed at a stage we were both particularly happy with.
When I found you in my stock room, slaving away at B.E. Holders, I said, you know, get to work harder. You shouldn't be doing this, whatever you were doing, dancing or singing or something.
Can I get something? I just want to interject real quick.
Yes, of course.
So this floating eye owns a company called B.E. Holders, so...
Yes, it's a menswear chain.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, yes, that's right. I know the slogan. You're going to be okay with the way you look? Is that the way?
It's pretty close. It's, You don't... we've got an eyes for fashion.
Oh.
That wasn't close at all.
It's relative, I suppose.
Sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just had to...
No, by all means, quadruped, interrupt me.
It is a factual truth that I first encountered Globulus as his employee. I was working at Beholders in a rather interesting position. I was taking articles of wardrobe, of clothing, that had entered a state of chaos, of just primordial disorder, and through my own physical and mental and emotional exertions, forcing them into a state of organization and beautiful kind of perfect order.
Mm. You are folding clothes.
It's another way
to
put it.
He's a folder.
It's another way to put it.
And you said it was beautiful?
It was, I've often brought myself to tears with my work.
Beautiful in front of the eye and in the BE holder.
If it's not beautiful, they won't buy that crap.
Yeah. So how did you build this business for yourself, Globulus?
It's a funny story, actually. I spent nigh on a millennia trapped in a crystal prison.
Oh.
After a battle with some plucky adventurers. I was thinking, their clothes were almost completely destroyed after our battle because of my eye lasers.
Oh, that's good to know.
And they're hanging in rags, and then they made off with all of my treasure, and I was thinking, what are they going to do with all that treasure? Probably buy more clothes for their lower and upper stocks.
Yeah.
So, I thought, when I get out of here, why not just flip the script on them, I guess?
It was exactly that eye, for commercial opportunity that I so admire and which I am not surprised led him to invest in the preeminent dramatic creator and interpreter of this or any age.
Yeah.
I speak most dishumbly of myself, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
What a brilliant businessman. I mean, it is penny wise, like, you know, knowing how to get money, that is.
Yeah.
He doesn't clown around.
Yes, and now I'm spending it to... We're trying to put on a play, right? That's what we're here for, to promote that damn thing.
Yes, the one-man show, The Cloven Hoof, The Cloven Heart. It's a...
Wait,
oh no, are you okay?
It's partly metaphorical and partly not metaphorical.
Oh no.
It revelry in the woods often is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, another satyr's horn is embedded in your chest.
Oh yeah.
Wood nymphs are mostly good with medicine, but not wonderful at
it. Yeah, so is there still, like, a horn in your heart?
A little bit.
Oh.
And one of the dramatic reveals is when I tear open my doublet to reveal the scar and just the little end bit of the nub of the horn. That's a bit of a spoiling of an event in the show.
Yeah,
so I hope I want people to listen so that they'll come to see, but I hope maybe they don't. I should have set off some sort of alarm or warning about the spoiling.
Yeah.
And the line of the final song is, "There's a horn in my heart and it can only be filled by you," or something, right? Fixed by you?
It can only be filled by me.
Oh.
It's
but that doesn't rhyme.
No. It's blank verse.
Oh.
It's free verse and blank. It's both blank and free. And free blank.
I'd love to hear some of this song. To put you on the spot.
No. Far be it from me. Yeah.
You said this is Cloven Hoof, Cloven Heart?
Cloven Hoof, Cloven Heart.
Can I feel like, and this is just from my base knowledge of your accomplishments, sir, it feels like all your plays that you do have the word hoof in it. I know you did Hot Tin Hoof on a Cat.
Yes,
I know you
based
did.
Based on a true story.
Oh,
you
boy.
Did Hoofsy, which is another one where you played your mom, right?
It was
hilarious.
Yes, and Hooflet, which was a tragedy. And, of course, Hoofbreakers, in which I and my daughter swindle rich. I played a woman in that, too. Swindle rich men out of their money.
Hoof versus hoof, I think.
Hoof versus hoof.
Urban cow hoof.
Mm-hmm, yes, another
All the
one.
King's hooves.
That was a kind of a playlet, you know, as a one act. What can I say? They say write what you know.
Sure. Yeah, sphere.
And I know hoofs.
But it's talking about a hoof, but that's the shape of it.
Well, here's the thing to remember about this current work. It is a true love story, the story of one's learning to love themselves.
Oh, sure.
And in one scene, quite graphically, when it's talking about my adolescent years.
Sure.
Before the nymphs were really expressing the interest in me that I expressed in them.
Yeah.
Every satyr goes through it. It's unpleasant at the time, but it is a wealth of dramatic material. And also, of course, from...
And there's that scene where you're running around trying to grab at yourself and you keep slipping and falling and it's hilarious.
Yes, that was a later addition after some discussions with my producer, Globulus. What am I slipping in again?
I don't know. Urine or some kind of animal excrement.
Oh, boy.
Depends on the show, depends on the venue, I suppose. I could do a...
Perhaps we could get this quadruped to provide some.
Oh, I would be honored to...
Thank you.
Yes. Sir, if you would slip on my excrement, that would be... I would. My friends would never hear the end of it.
Go get him a bag or something.
Yeah, let's
take... Can I use one of your sacks? Your flesh sacks?
I suppose.
Do those come off? Oh.
Oh, boy. You just pulled part of his glob off.
I thought the flesh sack came off. I mean, it did.
Oh, don't worry. It reattaches.
Oh, good. Well, let's take a quick break, and I guess you can take a dump. And you know what? You, dear listener, you go take a dump as well. And we'll be right back. Okay, well, I wish I could unsee some of the things I saw during that break. Are you doing all right, Jen?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't have to look.
I feel like there's a generation of people who are a little bit younger than me that really enjoy your play Hoof, where you played the pirate king.
Captain Hoof.
Yes, Captain Hoof.
Captain Hoof.
Yes, and I... you know, it just didn't really work for me.
It's interesting. It's very popular with those who attended, yes, while young.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you also play Peter the Pan in that as well?
Because he's a satyr?
Yeah.
Arnie, come on, man.
Oh,
did you?
Thank you. No, thank okay. you. I appreciate it. That is not a term we prefer to use.
Oh, I see.
Or to be used with.
Oh, okay.
Pan was one guy.
Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. I'll just puck off.
Yeah, you do puck off. What are you going to ask him next? I can't even say it. Seder. What are you going to ask him next? If he was in Seder Night Fever?
Were you in Seder Night Fever?
I actually was in that.
Oh!
Then I'll puck off. I'm sorry.
It's look, there's not often that you get to show off the dance moves on the stage.
Well, what was the name of that cool young satyr in Hoof? The one with the cool hair. Hoofio, I think?
Yeah, Hoofio, yes.
What was his battle cry?
It was Hoofio.
Oh, of course. I can't believe I forgot it. It must have been my millennia in the crystal prison.
Yeah, we really blazed right over that millennia you spent in the crystal prison.
I did not blaze through it. I spent millennia there.
It seems like you were mostly thinking about menswear during that time.
I did. Menswear, of course. See... Their clothes were ragged from my eye beams. Disintegration rays, blade rays, some kind of ultraviolet rays that just sets their clothes on fire.
So you have like a multitude of different things that can come out of those eye stalks.
Each eye stalk provides a different style of laser. I'm a beholder, of course.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
Now, they don't come in handy as a promoter of fine art very often, unless perhaps we get a bad review.
Oh, boy.
And then somebody's on the end of a disintegration ray. Foolish mortal.
You can often tell what village or town we've been through by the ad in the window of the local paper that says, Theater Critic. Wanted.
Oh.
We don't leave a large number of living theater crickets in our path. Theater critics or theater crickets.
Uh-huh. Have we told you about theater crickets?
No, I would love to hear about theater crickets.
Well, they're just crickets who, they sneak into the theater. They tend to make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to, you know, just kind of disrupt the show.
But they're just enjoying the show, probably.
Actually, no, they're dicks.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they're delicious. You scoop them up by the tongueful.
Oh, yeah.
You have a tongue?
Of course. Look at it.
I guess he is talking. Oh, he's licking his own eye.
Gotta keep him clean.
How does that tongue... That tongue is so big, I'm not sure how it fits in that ball of a head of yours.
My body doesn't conform to, I don't know, normal styles of physics.
Gee.
Number
Congratulations.
Styles, yes.
Congratulations to whatever woman you've been with.
Beholders have access to many pocket dimensions within their own body where they do contain a multitude of energies and body parts.
And they tend to heat up a little bit. I mean, that pocket I grabbed off them, that was hot.
The hot pocket?
What?
Now, I was talking about eye lasers and you seemed pretty interested, so I'll continue.
Every time he brings up eye lasers, I feel like we get into... what are we talking about now? Heated pockets? Come on, stay on track,
Ernie. Yeah,
I can heat a pocket with an eye laser, of course. Give me a pocket.
Okay, here's the one that I took off you. There you go.
I'm not going to heat that up. Attach it back to my body.
You're right. Let me grab. Let me rip a pocket off Arnie's pants here. Here you go. And I'll go ahead and, as you heat it up with your laser, I'll kind of spit it on the table.
There, it should be very nice and hot.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
put it on your face or something.
Give it to me. I'm going to eat it. That was disgusting.
Now, one of my great tricks, I would say the reason why my contribution to the show, except for my prodigious fortune, is in specific scenes, I use my one-eye laser to totally blow the clothes off of the cast.
Oh.
Which, and then they try to cover themselves up, and it's hilarious. Wow.
It's not my favorite.
Then they slip
scene.
Again.
Because we're slipping on the fragments of clothes. And by we're, I mean me, but the audience thinks there's a whole group of people up there because they've seen the characters I've played throughout it.
They just believe all of the yous that are up there.
Oh, it's a form of magic, you might say.
Sure.
It's kind of imagination.
Yeah. Do you ever worry about being too good at acting?
Frequently, yes. Because some have wondered, and by some I mean myself, if I could so embody a character that I would forget my own self. Which is another good positive thing about playing myself.
Yeah.
In that it's less likely that even if I did lose myself completely in the character, I would still be me because I am the character.
Yeah.
But what if you became you so much that you forgot you were being the you that you were not before?
I've wondered that many times.
More also, satyr than satyr.
Also, what if you play a slightly heightened version of yourself? Like, I'm just saying, if I were an
taller,
actor... Yeah, like a taller, you know, like satyrs aren't the tallest animal creatures in the world. I mean, just comparatively.
Arnie, come on. He's right there.
I'm
what are you, like 5 foot?
I have 2 feet, but I'm not very tall.
Sure.
But like most talented and successful performers, I have a slightly larger head.
Yeah.
Than the average member of my species.
Sure.
It's not something you necessarily...
Seems pretty small to me.
Yours is quite enormous.
You got a big head. You are a big head.
But it's not something you necessarily notice, but when it's pointed out, you're going to have very much trouble ignoring it.
Yeah.
But it gives me a sort of in-the-room charisma.
Sure.
That comes with having a slightly larger than normal head. Very expressive eyes... Full lips, of course, an aquiline nose, my horns on the forehead, of course, and my ears are perfectly pointed.
And they are
perfectly symmetrical.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank. It's no greater compliment. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
No greater compliment than symmetry.
So when I blow somebody's clothes off on stage,
right.
First off, it's hilarious. Second off, then they have to go to my store and buy new clothes.
Wow.
This guy is brilliant. Oh, didn't you do Clothes Is Off? Clothes Is Off. It was a play where it shows the front of a...
No, you go on. I wouldn't know the answer to
this
anyway.
It's like the front of a house, and it's all these shenanigans going on. And then in the second act of the play, they turn it around, and you see what's going on behind stage all the time, and everyone's naked.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was my first dipping of a stalk into the pool of the theater world. And, of course, all those scenes with excessive farting, that was my contribution.
It is a fart. Based on that play, they started to call that type of play a fart.
Oh, a fart.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, world.
It is an immortal contribution to theater. Yes, your place in the firmament is assured.
Sorry, Globulus, did we ever find out how, I might have missed it, how you got out of the crystal prison?
I was released from my crystal prison by Globulus II.
Uh-oh.
See, when a beholder spends enough time dreaming of another beholder, often identical to themselves, they give birth, they will that beholder into existence. And in this case, I created a second version of myself, which just released me. And then I devoured him. My mistake.
So you've just devoured it yourself on, like, both sides.
Have you ever tried it? It's delicious.
Do you ever fear that another beholder shall come into being a Globulus II that will devour you and take your place?
Is fear another one of your acronyms?
Oh.
Because I don't know what it means.
Do you mind listing the emotions you do know?
Anger.
Okay.
Check. Humor.
Mm-hmm. Lasers.
Lasers, of course.
What else do you need?
It covers all my needs are satisfied.
That's all three.
And those are the things that should be represented in our great work. Cloven hoof, cloven heart.
Yes, that's...
Lasers.
Lasers are so sadly lacking at the moment, but farts are... I mean, except for the part where the clothes come off, yes. Farts are at this point maybe a little too overly represented in the finished product. I think for a scene is a bit much, especially when they tend to go on.
Bit much, perhaps. Perhaps the budget for this play is a bit much.
No. Everything's working out very nicely.
Really need all those paintings of you to be put up all over the place? You said you needed five different versions of the same painting.
Yes.
Each one with a slightly different expression on your face.
It helps me to focus and to harness and to hone the emotional energy of the performance, to be able to visualize myself feeling that emotion. Yeah. Because once you know what an emotion looks like, you can know what it feels like. And alternately, once you know what it feels like, you can know what it looks like. Yeah. If you have a mirror or a painting of you doing that.
Yeah. Dustin, the last thing I want to do, Mr. Hoofman, is to suggest like what you should do with your career, but I'm going to do that anyway. Have you considered doing a show about Globulus? He seems to have led a very interesting life, and I personally would definitely buy a ticket to a show called Anger, Humor, Lasers. I mean, who would not want to see that show?
It's an interesting proposition. Globulus, what if I could take a few liberties with the production?
What do you mean by liberties?
Perhaps instead of a beholder, you would be like a young satyr. And perhaps you're struggling with... less struggling to get out of a crystal prison, but struggling to get out of the prison of oneself.
Wow. Wonderful. What a genius.
But we can still keep the lasers.
What about all the farting?
Dustin Hoofman, you don't seem to be struggling that hard to get out of the prison of yourself.
It took a lot of work, self-work, hours. It was really getting out of the prison of other people's idea of who I should be.
Oh, I see.
And the prison of other people's opinions about me and realizing the only way to break free of this cell is to... understand that I'm the only one whose opinion of myself matters, and I'm the only one whose opinion of anything matters, really.
You gave that same speech while eating your lunch alone in the break room one day. I overheard it.
Rehearsal, let's call it. Rehearsal.
You must forgive Arnold. He does not understand the dramatics require struggle. And you are showing a true struggle in your works.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes,
beautiful.
Yes, my struggle. That could be a title for something. My struggle. I don't know quite what it would be about yet.
I mean, I prefer the name Anger, Humor, Lasers, but that's just
they're
me.
Both possibilities.
Sure.
I'll workshop them both, and we'll see how it turns out.
But I feel so rude. I realize we never gave you a chance to sing your song.
Well, you know, I mean, if I must, I would never. Okay, well. Sometimes I know I can seem aloof. Sometimes it feels like I'm the only one under this roof. Sometimes all of life feels like a spoof. A goof.
Every word rhymes with hoof.
Where did the spotlight come from? I didn't know there was a spotlight in this tavern.
I think Globulus is projecting it.
Sorry.
And then you feel that little ache in your tooth. And you realize...
All right, I'll go with it.
It's your hoof. It's your hoof. Cloven hoof.
Wow.
Cloven hoof. A dog goes woof. For your cloven hoof and your cloven heart.
Oh.
And then a very loud fart sound.
Oh, which rhyme?
Oh, my gosh. It was hoof all the way rhyme, and then the final one was heart, and then he lets out a fart?
Yes.
That is
and
the
then,
most...
Brilliant.
Than a sound where if you know the word for that sound, it rhymes with the last word of the sound.
It's a new type of rhyme.
Yeah.
Could somebody use one of my brands of handkerchiefs to dry my many eyes?
Oh.
There you go.
It's so beautiful to see it in performance.
I have to say, Dustin, sir, if I may call you that, on a familiar basis, you may have said that that's, you know, a struggle. You talked about, you know, my struggle, but that was a triumph of the will that you just belted that out on the spot. That was amazing.
Thank you. A lot of people just cannot see what I'm working with here, and it means something to me that you are such appreciators. Yes.
You see Arnie there? You see him? Him learn. Him learn about song.
Let's not put that on me. Well, Dustin Hoofman, Globulus, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been great to meet you, and I'm excited to see the show sometime. Is that a possibility? We don't really get to leave Hog's Face.
We'll be performing it as soon as we can find the right venue, correct?
The soldiers that brought us here mentioned that we might be able to perform it in the dungeons.
Oh.
Or some kind of prison camp.
The lighting is less than ideal.
Sure.
But one must work with the tools in one's hands. Or one hand's. And in one's hooves.
Yeah.
He is so respectful to all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different types of thing in Foon, and as long as we can recognize that I'm on stage and they should look at me, I don't see why we all can't get along.
Let's be respectful for creatures that have hands that are both singular and plural at the same time.
Getting to know Dustin Hoofman here has led me to understand that creatures that aren't the perfect blob with eye stalks aren't totally terrible. Sure. They are lesser than me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
For I have lived for so long.
Globulus.
We can all get along.
I think he's finally feeling
even
sad.
Even this little one,
Globulus,
can agree.
Yeah, are you okay? I feel like
it's so weird because I think he's crying. Like I feel like he's getting wet, but at the same time his bow tie is spinning. So I don't know whether to like feel sad or to laugh.
Yeah,
the spinning bow tie is a goof. It's hilarious,
Globulus.
There's another for your song. Goof. Or maybe you said that.
I wasn't going to point it out.
Globulus, sometimes I feel like you're so latching on to the humor in the world because, I don't know, I'm sensing you feel like you've lived too long. Has life become your next crystal prison?
Blam, I just blew your clothes off with my eyes.
No!
Yes, we see everything.
Okay.
Look at that, it's hilarious.
Right. I'll admit it, all right.
You can see everything, all of his stalks.
Closes off.
Oh boy, yeah. Listeners, please, no fan art of this moment.
Don't worry, there's a bee holders the next town over.
Oh, good. Well, hey, Chun, have you gotten any emails?
I have. Let's see here. I have an email from Amy Gray. She says, "Greetings, Chunt. I started listening to the podcast at the end of last year. It helped me get through flying across the country for solstice, which I am normally very afraid to do. I have a few related questions about Foon. One, I was wondering if anyone in Foon suffers from phobias, an irrational fear of something.
I don't know. Do people, like...
Yes.
I feel like people are afraid of a lot of things in Foon, but they seem very rational.
Are you afraid of anything? Are you afraid of the dark?
I am afraid of the dark.
Are you afraid that people will draw your penis in fan art?
Yes.
Two, can people or creatures fly in Foon if they aren't wizards and don't have wings?
Yes.
Well, Globulus can answer that. You're kind
of... Of course, I float along in a mixture of magic and gas that's expelled from my various cloacae.
Okay, that explains a lot. That explains a lot. Cloacae. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you expect to call an eye wearing a cloak?
I look quite handsome in a cloak, but only at night and after Labor Day, of course.
Sure. What is Labor Day in Foon?
We haven't told you about Labor
Day. No.
Well, usually there's one day where everybody is forced to work in a mine.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, have a king's juice for me. Amy Gray. P.S. Arnie, keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you, Amy Gray.
Well, I don't know what good work she's talking about.
Just the work of doing this podcast.
Can you not gesticulate when your dick and balls are hanging out?
No, I'm sorry. My whole body moves. I'm not so different than a beholder in many ways. Hey, here's an email I got to magictavern@puppies.supplies. It's also a kind of an older one. Hello, Arnie, Usador, and Chunt. In August of 2016, I bought a rat to have as a companion and named him Usador. I fell in love with him quickly, and when I realized he was getting lonely, I bought him a friend who I named Spintax. They quickly grew close and would often groom each other to such intensity that they would end up quarreling. That's just like you and Spintax, for real.
Sounds right, yes.
While I was away on holiday, they passed away while staying at my friend's house, likely due to the heat in Australia or stress from being moved around. I love them dearly and miss them greatly. Usador was such a sweetie, and Spintax had his quirks. I feel like there's a lot suggested in that sentence. They could never be replaced, but I wish to have animals to take care of, so I am again getting two rats who I hope to fall in love with also, as they are brilliant companions. I wonder, are rats the only options? Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what it's like in Australia. It would mean a lot to me if I had your assistance in naming the two male rats I will get after the heat wave has passed. In particular, Usador's assistance being the namesake of my beloved Usador. Thank you for the joy of your podcast brings. Genevieve from Australia.
Aww.
So she's seeking a new appellation for her rats.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't need to read all of that. I could have just said, you got two names for rats.
Well, I would say Arnold and Chunt. She's already done Spintax and Usador.
It's Arnie.
Or maybe Bing and Bong.
Or Dustin and Beholder. Globulus.
Dustin Hoffman and Globulus are pretty good names for rats.
Oh, he's crying. I think he's still sad.
He doesn't know how to be sad.
Maybe I'll introduce him to an Udwin mother. One second.
No, my tears are coming from laughter. I find it hilarious you would name a rat Globulus. It doesn't look like a Globulus at all.
No, it probably looks more like a Hank. That's a good name.
That is a good name.
I'm going to introduce you to one of the Unwed mothers. This is Carly. I, Carly.
Hello, biped.
And she's run off crying.
No. It's probably because she only has one leg. She doesn't like being reminded of it.
Globulus is a work in progress, as are we all, except myself.
The name of my autobiography, Globulus in Progress.
I would still go with anger, humor, and lasers, but maybe that's just me. Guys, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure. I'd like to ask you the thing that I kind of want to try to ask all of our guests now. Is there anything you can do to help us defeat the Dark Lord?
Well, I'm not the one who can shoot lasers out of his many eyes.
Yeah.
But I would say that perhaps if the right charismatic speaker was able to really create a sense of revolt, you know, maybe there's a speech in there... some kind of a playlist, or I'll have to mull it over.
Yes, yeah. Use your art to defeat the Dark Lord. That's the best weapon.
Unless,
no
of
question.
Course, the Dark Lord enjoys theater.
Oh.
In which case, you know, 1,000 more years, please.
Oh, I see.
Well, clearly, you should just give me your treasure. If you give me all your treasure, I'll defeat the Dark Lord with my eye lasers. I think it's that simple. See, I provide a service to people. Do you want breeches for your lower stocks? Do you want a blouse for your upper stocks? I got them. You can get them from me. And if you want to see our crap and laugh at it, even so, come to our play. Give us all your gold.
Talk about speech. That was a great speech.
That was
Man,
a good
I would
speech.
Do anything that guy says. Dustin, would you mind taking us out on one more song?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
One. Maybe one where everything rhymes with Seder.
Well, I've been tinkering with something. This is one that is in a, kind of an unformed shape, but it would appear in the third act. When you're living life as a satyr, you don't know who's put what on your plate or what's going on. What's over here? What can you hear with your perfectly formed ear? But there's a horn on your head, and you know that satyrs, they're red sometimes. But a satyr can be a good dater if you happen to rate it high.
I gotta say, the hoof song was greater.
It's a much harder word to rhyme.
I was thinking when the first rhyme was plater, I was like, there's not going to be a lot of seder.
Very difficult.
Greater. Calculator.
Well, then maybe you should write the seder song.
Don't cry, Dustin Hoffman. Don't cry.
Just think, all the fantastic creatures you conjured in your mind were really just 30 and 40 something dudes dressed like they just finished cleaning out the garage. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Right now, he's taking a potion that makes him tired by simulating the experience of listening to him. Chunt the Badger was played by Adil Rafai. With Matt so exhausted, I'm not sure what Adil's thing is anymore. Dustin Hoffman the Satyr was played by special guest Elliot Kalin. Check out Elliot's Audible podcast, Presidents Are People Too. Globulus the Bowtied Beholder was played by special guest Stuart Wellington. Next time you're in Brooklyn, stop by Stuart's Bar, Hinterlands Bar. Oh, and of course, Elliot and Stuart are two-thirds of the hosting team of Flophouse, a podcast where they force themselves to watch terrible movies and then talk about them. You can see how joining us here was a logical progression. You know, I'd love to do all the rest of the credits myself, but my assistant Craig is back from a much-needed convalescence, and I'm sure he's champing at the bit to tell you who wrote the theme song or walk you through the B-list in other exciting ways. Craig, ready for your moment on the dim edge of the spotlight?
Ooh! Oh, yeah, let's do this. Hello from the Magic Tavern was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Ryan DiGiorgi, and Evan Chikover. This one edited by Ryan DiGiorgi. Music by Andy Poland, logo by Allard Laban, additional audio effects by Jason Knox, production assistance by Garrett Schultz. Visit us at hellofromthemagictavern.com or on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op and Earwolf. You know, that rest and the deception tube really did me good, but I kept having this weird dream that my sustenance nozzle was leaking nutrient goo all over the bunker, and no matter how much goo I ate, more just kept coming, and when I woke up, my memory gel pillow was gone. Also, my left arm is covered in duct tape and it sparks every once in a while. Is that a thing we know about?
Craig, lucky you. Another exoskeleton is about ready to slough off. Be a pal and fetch the gathering hamper.
Coming!